The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to GVN Interview. On today's show, we welcome talented actor, producer, and now podcast host, Michael Nathanson. On Michael's new podcast, Playing Dead, he will focus on the iconic deaths of characters on both film and television. Speaking to the actors who brought those roles to life, and what went into their now famous deaths. Now, here's your host, Martin Sexton.
Welcome to this special edition of GVN Interview. I am your host, Martin, and today we have the privilege of talking to talented actor, writer, producer, and now podcast host, Michael Nathanson. Michael has been working in film and television since 2013 with roles in The Wolf of Wall Street, as well as reoccurring roles in television with The Nick and Marvel's The Punisher. Currently, though, Michael is working on a new podcast called Playing Dead in conjunction with Lionsgate Sound. Playing Dead is all about the iconic and sometimes gruesome deaths that have captured audiences' imaginations in movies and on television. On the show, Michael will sit down and talk to the actors and those behind the scenes that created these iconic moments that fans are still talking about, with the premiere episode coming November 29th. So let's welcome Michael Nathanson to GVN Interview. Thanks for having sharing a little bit of your time there, Michael. How are we doing this fine Monday morning?
Oh, it's good. It's good. We're talking to each other. I'm on location in New York. I'm based in Los Angeles, but braving the cold weather here to shoot a TV show. So it's what you got to do.
All right. Very good. Okay. So before we get into all things dead or playing dead for that matter, and since this is our first opportunity to talk to you, I want to talk to you a bit about your background. When did you first consider getting into acting, and was there any either performers or films that inspired you to make you think that I can do that?
Oh my gosh. Well, I'd say the acting bug hit me pretty early when I was a kid. I was always performing for my family and for all of my friends. And I was always getting thrown out of class for making jokes and being extremely disruptive. And I was like, oh, maybe I can get paid for that someday. But yeah, I went to, I did a bunch of high school theater and then went to college to do other stuff and then kind of found it again in college very early on and realized it was sort of where I was meant to be. And I was always a lifelong fan of the cinema, even from when I was a super, super young kid. You know, the first movie I think I ever saw in the movie theaters was Return of the Jedi. And I saw it like maybe 17 times the year it came out. And I think Star Wars and sort of that whole 80s and 90s sort of geek era of film and TV really had an indelible impact on me and kind of influenced me for sure throughout all of my work. But I was a huge fan of, as I got older, 70s cinema and all the sort of early auteurs and then became a big Tarantino fan and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, it's being in the world of Marvel and being in the world of the Comic-Cons and that whole kind of place that I tend to drift in and out of is definitely something that feels like it's totally connected to my childhood and all of the things that I loved back then.
Okay. So when you first started into acting, did you think, okay, I'm just going to be a film actor or a television actor? Or were you more like, you want to hire me? I'm your guy.
Yeah. I mean, I went to theater school. I went to Northwestern in Chicago and trained for 4 years and definitely was a big, big theater actor. Did a ton of theater in New York before I ever appeared on screen. And for me, that was really the basis of everything that I've ever done on screen is like that training and being on stage and having those experiences really sort of laid the groundwork for me to get, I think, these bigger sort of more high profile roles on film and TV. It's important. I would say, you know, for any actor, some kind of training ground, especially in theater, is super important.
Excellent. Okay, so I noticed as I was doing a little bit of research into it that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that you also did, you know, as a side job, a little bit of time as a bartender. which is kind of the iconic side job for actors as they're trying to hustle jobs. During that little bit of time, do you think you felt like you absorbed anything from talking to different people and things that might have helped you with your acting?
That I never wanted to be a bartender again. That's what I absorbed. I mean, I would say, as an actor, I've done I did a whole bunch of other day jobs earlier in my career, in my 20s. I was a gymboree teacher, for play spaces for little kids. And I was bartender. I was a waiter. I mean, I was temp. I did so many different things. And I mean, I think as an actor, and this sounds probably trite and people have heard this a million times before, but I think life experience is always important. And it's one thing to get training and one thing to read a bunch of plays, one thing to do a bunch of plays and do a bunch of acting. But I think, if you don't understand the real world and the people around you that you exist with, you have to study human behavior and you sort of can't avoid it. And I think that it's those experiences. I think anything outside of acting probably formed me more as an actor than any acting I ever did, for sure.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So I had mentioned The Punisher in my opening, and needless to say that the show is a huge fan favorite with geek vibes. And of course, our head writer, who is in love with Jon Bernthal, just was crushed when the series was
canceled. All in love with Jon Bernthal, yeah.
Okay, so you played Agent Sam Stein on the first season of the show. How did that role come about? And were you familiar with the character of The Punisher going in?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had read some of the comics growing up, and of course I knew, being a Marvel fan and being kind of a geek, I knew The Punisher and all that stuff. But I went in to play, to audition for, at the time they were still, all the Marvel shows were under strict NDAs and they all had code names. So no one could figure out what was being made. And I think ours was called Crime. That was the sort of pseudonym we were working under. And when I got the audition, I wasn't supposed to know it was The Punisher, but the cast director was kind of like, you can kind of tell what this is, right? And I was like, yeah, I get it. And initially they give you a set of dummy sides, which are, a scene written in the style of whatever you're auditioning for, but it's not actually from the script. So, cause they don't want any of the actual script out there and leaking. So the first character I went in for was actually Micro. And I recognized it because I could tell the dynamic between the two characters, what they were talking about. I was like, this is an audition for Micro, isn't it? And they're like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And I think initially they were looking for a certain kind of Micro, and I think I was the kind they were looking for. And then they adjusted the idea of the character a little bit because they also introduced this new character. Obviously, Micro's from the comics. They introduced this new character of Sam Stein, and I was like, wait, there's another geeky Jewish guy that you're introducing and the thing. And but again, I think what they did with Micro was very different from the comics. I think Sam Stein is actually more in line with the Micro that people remember from the comics. So I think he was a bit of an homage to the original Micro, and also, added the right sort of comic tone to offset some of the horrific violence. But it was an audition that just, after I went in for Micro, I didn't hear anything. And then the cast director called and was like, well, they've decided to go a different way with that character, but there happens to be this other character. And so again, got a new set of dummy sides, learned it, came in, and got hired. And it was crazy. I couldn't tell anybody for 2 months what I was doing. I was very, very, it was very strict on the DL. And then, I couldn't believe it. It was a dream come true for someone like me, a lifelong geek. It was oh my God.
Okay, so and of course that's kind of Marvel about the whole, don't tell anybody anything. So did you have any competition for the role, or did you just kill it, so to speak, from the start?
I love that. I'm going to use that for my podcast. I mean, it's hard for me to tell you, who. I don't know. There were certainly other people up for it or auditioning for it, but I do know that once they saw my tape, they felt like I was the guy, and I think I was the first person cast actually. Besides Jon Bernthal, of course, I'm pretty sure I was the first person cast. And so that's why I think I waited so long, because they were looking for someone to match with me. And then they found Amber to play Madani. And I felt pretty good about it. I felt pretty good about it. I still left the audition thinking, like any actor does, I'm not going to get that. Because, the law of averages is, you go out for 100 auditions and you get one. So, and I was like, oh my God, what a what a trip this would be to be in the, you know, an official member of the MCU and all this kind of jazz. And never in my wildest dreams that I think that would happen. Although, you know, you work hard enough and you persevere, it can come.
Okay, this is kind of going to be leading into your podcast, but just because I'm not familiar with how that kind of thing works. Okay, so you know, you got the job, you're part of a recurring cast, you think, great, this is great. You told, and I'm not sure if they tell you, you know, like send you individual scripts for each one, or they just give you a whole bunch of them. You find out your character is getting killed off. So how do you internally deal with that? You say, okay, I got this great job and now I don't.
Yeah, I actually knew I was going to die before I even got the job. So it wasn't something that came as a surprise. It was something I was bummed out about, you know, because they contract you for a certain amount of episodes. And they were basically like, you know, you can see by the amount of episodes you're contracted by. And also, wink, wink, it's called The Punisher. So, you know, there's going to be, basically it was like very few survivors at the end of the first season. I think there were only three actors from the first season that survived, you know, who went into season two. So knowing that you were, what I tried to do was I tried to not think about it, act as if I didn't know. It was funny. I did not tell my on-screen partner about it. Because on purpose, because I didn't want her to think about my death and anticipate my death. I wanted it to come as a shock. And it was a shock, I think, for the audience. And more times than not, if I get stopped in the street or at my conventions or wherever, people are like, oh my God, I can't believe they killed you off. I was so shocked. And I was screaming at the television, or I was crying. And I was like, and you know, that's great. You know, this, when you play a character, when you build up a likability, I think, for a character, when people enjoy you and they take you out like that, you know, it shows it gives the show a lot of stakes. And I think that makes it something more than just your sort of everyday kind of fluffy, either superhero show or, you know, The Punisher is gritty and, you know, it's, you're not dealing with a bunch of people with superpowers. You're dealing with, you know, real individuals, people who are superheroes in their own way. You know, Stein was a certain kind of superhero, you know, the way that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are certain kinds of superheroes. It's a different, you know, there has to be the infrastructure behind the superhero to make it all work. But, yeah, the death thing is just a very strange thing. When you know you're going to die, it's just something where you have to kind of like, I think what it did was it forced me to just enjoy every single second that I was there and soak it up and really just, you know, live out that sort of little boy fantasy of being part of it. But it's, you know, I definitely had, I didn't get, they don't give you the episodes in advance. Generally speaking, you might get one episode script in advance. So it's not like I knew exactly how I was going to die or who was going to kill me. I had an idea, but, you know, and that was good too. You don't want to know too much because you want to be able to play a certain kind of reality.
All right. Okay. So like I said, so this is all leading up to your new podcast, Playing Dead. So did you come up with the concept for this? And how did you kind of piece it together of what you wanted to do there?
Yeah, you know, I did. I was one of the things I was thinking about as my time in The Punisher was ending was that how can I stay in the MCU? What's a way to continue my journey through this and be involved in this world? Because I love the Comic-Con world, the geek world so much, and it's part of who I am. And everybody at Marvel was like, and Netflix were like, oh my gosh, like, we wish we could keep you around because you're like the biggest fan we've ever had of an actor who's come in, like, you always come in so excited and enjoy it, you know, enjoying every, and I'm like, yeah, this is like a fantasy being played out for me. And so I was thinking, what would be a cool way? And honestly, the idea just sort of popped into my head one day while I was on set. And I talked to Amber, who played Dina Madani on the show. And she was like, that's a really good idea. You should think about that. And I was like, I think I could do it as a podcast. And originally I was going to do something with it with Marvel. And then I ended up pitching it as I changed kind of the IP on it and was pitching it as sort of a TV show and couldn't really figure out the best way to do it. And I kept thinking to myself, I really think at the end of the day, a podcast is like the way to go with this. But what happened was my family and I did a big move from New York to LA and then right before COVID. And then of course COVID. And then during that time, I sort of, you know, as we all did, had a lot of time in our hands sitting at home and thinking about, you know, what our lives were like, and you know, you have a lot of time to think and create, you know, new stuff. And so I started sort of bringing it back into the forefront of my creative life. I'd like to find a way to do this, and ended up pitching it to Lionsgate and the people they're working with. They were starting this new platform and they really dug it. They wanted to get into this, you know, Lionsgate has an amazing catalog of geek movies and TV stuff too. And I think, they were really supportive and excited about it. And we partnered up and Playing Dead was born, officially.
Excellent. Okay, so this is just a side note, though. You know, I noticed on the Lionsgate Sound preview page for Playing Dead, there was a blurb that said a celebration of geekdom, which automatically made you like part of us for that kind of thing. But then in your trailer, you mentioned Artax from Neverending Story. I said, oh man, he might as well just be an actual member of Geeks Five Nation, because that kind of stuff we just eat up. Okay, so I just get that out there.
I will tell you, there is quite a lot of talk about Artax, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but some people who know a lot about Artax are going to be on that podcast talking about it. So,
oh, excellent. Okay, so yeah, the opportunity to hear from the performers and those behind the scenes for some of these different scenes. How did you decide which ones you wanted to cover first, as far as which deaths that you wanted to focus on?
I know. Yeah, I was sort of like a kid in a candy store in the beginning of this whole process, because I was like looking at the pantheon of great deaths, both in movies and television. And I thought, okay, first, let's start with movies. Let's put TV aside. Maybe that's a season two. But I needed to start sort of whittling down the genres, the scope of it, because you could go back to the beginning of film and, you know, the 1930s, 20s, whatever, and think about great deaths in old movies and stuff. So where am I actually going to start? And I felt like, because this was so inspired by my own love of geekdom and my experience being in a Marvel show, and the whole idea was, well, I died in a Marvel show, I might as well interview other people who died in sort of similarly iconic sci-fi superhero style stuff. So I kind of whittled it down to that genre. And then I thought, well, of course, I'd like to start with, you know, folks in my own show, but I also wanted to explore some of my favorite movies, actors from some of my favorite movies growing up. And I don't want to spoil too many guests or ideas, because obviously we're going to be releasing it week to week. But there is a long list of people and a long list of movies that I wanted to cover. And I was very fortunate to cover a great many of them and talk to a great many of those folks. But man, there is a list about 10 pages long of guests I still want to have. So, I mean, you could do this show till you're dead, pretty much, and still not cover everybody. And then if you take the TV characters, right, from however long ago to today, especially in the last 20 years of television, 20, 25 years of television, man, you could do a whole other thing. So hopefully in the future, we'll be hitting some more of those.
Well, and that's what, you know, I pretty much thought. I said, you're right, this thing could have really long legs, because there is a,
hey, I'm no idiot. Come on. I you know, as an actor, you want to work as long as possible. I want an idea that's not going to be one and done.
Right. Okay. So when it comes time to, you know, came in to bringing in the actors and such to talk about it, were they all on board right from the get-go, or did you have to do some smoozing to get them to come on?
Yeah. You know, it's, I definitely tapped a lot of friends of mine. So I definitely have some fun conversations with buddies who have, you know, been in a bunch of big stuff and got to have some iconic deaths. And then they were kind enough to reach out to other friends of theirs. We worked with a couple of casting directors to reach out, publicists, a couple of actors. I managed to just shoot them a message on Twitter, and they responded and thought it was cool. And, you know, sometimes you were able to sidestep all the gatekeepers and go right to them. I think because I am someone who was an actor from that world and had that experience, I think certain people were more willing to talk to me. But again, it's hard, you know, it's hard to pin down people's schedules. And I think, I think once this season comes out and people are excited about it, I think it, you know, the more exposure it gets, the more high profile the guests could get, because they'll say, oh, well, oh, okay, maybe I'll do that. You know, it's sort of proof of concept when it comes to these kinds of things. So you gotta pull out all the favors you can to get folks to agree.
Okay. So, and I'm not, again, not trying to give too much away, but in your initial discussions, excuse me, with actors and, about their roles and their characters, have you learned anything that kind of surprised you about either what went into it or, just something that you didn't realize at that time?
Yeah. And again, no spoiler alert. I mean, no
Right.
spoilers here, but definitely, I got to talk to some really cool people who are either working behind the scenes or in front of the camera on many movies that you probably love. And there were some stories that totally took me by surprise and little anecdotes. And a lot of this stuff appears in other interviews and online, or people have written a book, or people have done a documentary. But when you really sit down one-on-one and have a long, personal conversation, recollections that start to come out. And yeah, there are quite a few things that about the making of some of these movies, I had no idea what went on, and some of the dynamics behind the scenes between the creators. Some of the, there are great stories about Jim Henson, George Lucas, like any of these folks, like they, from the people who knew them really well, worked with them. And it was a trip. Yeah. Lots of fun little tidbits. I like to say each episode is almost a therapy session for both of us, but in addition, you definitely will get a lot of I think there's a lot of cool details and another level of knowledge that people didn't have before.
And what's the one thing about, okay, so we talked about this a little bit, but do you have like in your head like a holy grail of either films or television that you would love to talk about if it's possible to corral whoever it is that we're talking about?
I mean, yeah. I think if we were going to do a TV version, of course, I'd want to do any Sopranos cast member that's still alive. Breaking Bad for sure. Love to get Bryan Cranston on to talk about that. Giancarlo Esposito. I think for film, obviously, we wanted to talk to Mark Hamill to discuss the death of Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi, but that's a hard get. He and I have corresponded on Twitter before, and he's been nice and fun to me in the past. We've had some fun exchanges, but that was somebody who we fought to get, and it was hard. And I think we just couldn't figure out how to make it work. So that's somebody. If he's listening, put that in. I put that in the ether. But I will tell you, I got to talk to so many people that I basically put together a long wish list, and a lot of those people were fulfilled on that wish list. So I'm very grateful. But now there's definitely a handful of people out there who I'd love to, crossing fingers we get another season. I get to I'd love to do a Ghostbusters episode. That was something we didn't have a chance to do. We had plans to reach out to Jason Reitman and to talk about Harold Ramis and how they were handling the whole death of Egon and in Afterlife. And right around that time, we were sort of reaching out and trying to figure it out. Ivan Reitman passed away, and I think that was just it was such a bad, terrible situation that I didn't want to push that issue. But I'm hoping that I'd love to talk to those guys about what they did, because I just thought that was a beautiful send off for that character and for that actor.
So, like I said, my problem is because I'm at the age where some of the scenes and characters that I would love for you to talk about is no longer possible because the actors are no longer alive. Like in The Green Mile, Michael Clark Duncan and Michael Jeter, those were ones I would love for you to get some inside information and how that thing went about, because
Got
unfortunately
to
they're not.
record these. I know we got to record these seasons fast. We got to get them in before. I gotta make a list of anyone who's over the age of whatever or who is sick, and I gotta get them in fast. I mean that, but you know what? It's ironic in a way, and it's part of the whole, cycle of leaving your mark on the world as an actor, as a in these iconic roles. And yeah, it reminds you of the mortality of all of this stuff, of all of us.
You know, I say, and it's funny, like when I go into Comic Cons and things, or like say, when I get an opportunity to talk to William Shatner, I gotta talk to that man as quick as I can because he's getting up there,
He's
but
getting up
he's
there.
but
Yeah.
he's probably gonna outlive me, so it doesn't. Okay,
Funny,
so is
we're doing a big launch event for the podcast at LA Comic Con on December 4th. We're going to be doing a big live show on the main stage, and I do believe William Shatner is going to be up there on a panel right before me. So it's the first time I can ever say William Shatner opened for me in any performance. But I actually would love to have him on, obviously to talk about Kirk, but that's another white whale. We'll see.
Well, I say he stays busy. You might be able to get him. Okay, so it's pretty much proven that you've got plenty of subject matter for the show, but how long do you think Playing Dead will go?
You mean how long, how many seasons or
Yes,
how
how many
long?
seasons? Yes, yes.
I'll tell you what, if it's successful, and I would love to do it as long as I can. I'm someone who loves conversation. I love to tell stories. I love to hear stories. And I'm a fan, you know, at heart, this is like, it's sort of like my own personal Comic-Con line, you know, instead of going to a Comic-Con and standing in line waiting for an autograph, I get to hang out with these people for a couple hours and have these really intimate, awesome conversations. And so many of them are, like I said, they're icons of my childhood. And to have these like in-depth conversations are just amazing. And like I, you know, there's hundreds of others at least I would love to talk to. So I don't know. I guess I'll get through, if I get through all the people I want to talk to, it should take me about 10 years.
Well, all right then. Well, I think, of course, I think the energy that, you know, the enthusiasm you have kind of shows. I think it's going to play very well on the podcast.
Thank you. I hope
Okay,
so.
so, yes, I can't believe that it won't. Okay, so we're looking forward to listening to Playing Dead, and I appreciate your time today, Michael. But before I set you free, when can fans find the first installment of Playing Dead? And can so we've kind of talked about this, so I imagine you can't do it. But can you give us just kind of an idea, like say for the first show or two, which characters they might see.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I haven't had a conversation with all the PR folks about like what I can and can't say. I'm pretty convinced I'm not allowed to say, you know, who the guests are and all that kind of stuff. Let's just say it's important to start at the beginning. And what that means for me is where did my journey start? And maybe those who were a part of that journey might be at the start of this journey, if that makes any sense. And in terms of where I got this idea from. So it starts with a pretty cool episode, and the first episode will be airing very soon. It releases November 29th, and you can get it anywhere you get podcasts. It's already up on every single platform. You can find it on Spotify, iHeart, Apple. We have a trailer up you could listen to. You can start rating the podcast if you want, even though, you know, a friend of mine said, "Oh, I gave you 5 stars." And I'm like, "Sure. Why don't you listen to the podcast?" Where he's like, "Oh, but I like you." I'm like, "Okay. So if you like me, give it 5 stars." Yeah, but you can hear the trailer right now. And then the first episode drops November 29th. December 4th, I will be at LA Comic Con on the main stage around 12 p.m., following William Shatner. And I'll be doing a live special episode interview that will be taped, that will be released as a bonus episode with a very special mystery guest,
Excellent.
someone I'm very, very excited to talk to. Definitely was on my hit list, and we managed to get him, and he was excited to do it. So that's going to be a really cool. I can't say who it is yet until LA Comic Con decides they want to say it. But if you go to the LA Comic Con website, information on my show should be up there soon. And yeah, it's and then it'll be released every week. For as long as the run goes, and then, you know, let the chips fall and let's hopefully get as many listeners as possible and you know, spreading the word about it.
All right. Well, you can certainly count on us for doing that. And again,
Thank
I
you.
do appreciate it, Michael, and hopefully talk to you again down the line.
Absolutely. Oh, and I should probably tell everyone that they can come follow me on all of my social channels. I know I'm supposed to say that, right? Michael underscore Nathanson, I think, is my Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on wherever you want to find me. But I'm all over that, and usually I answer as many DMs as I possibly can. I think it's fun to, you know, reach out and talk to other fans like me, because at the end of the day, that's what I am. I'm a fan. You're a fan, and you're doing this show. I'm a fan. I'm doing my show. Sure, I've been in stuff too, but you know, this world is in my blood, so I can't wait to start this journey with the podcast. It's going to be awesome.
All right. We appreciate it. Excited, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, be well.
Thank you for listening to GVN Interviews. GVN Interviews is a production of Geek Vibes Nation.